I'm going to call this meeting of the Legislative Council to order. It is December 19th at 1:05 p.m. Ms. Geary, can you please call the roll?
Okay.
Representative Queeman. Representative Queeman. Representative Etchman. Representative Foster.
Here.
Okay. Speaker Stutes.
Here.
Representative Tilton.
Here.
Representative Tuck. Senator Bishop.
Here.
Senate President Michiki.
Here.
Senator Hoffman. Senator Hughes.
Here.
Senator Schauer.
Here.
Senator Sedman.
Here.
Senator Stevens.
Here.
Vice Chair Reinbold.
Here.
Chair Hannon.
Here.
12 members present.
With 12 members present, we do have a quorum to conduct business. The first item on our agenda is to approve the agenda. Co-Chair Reinbold, do you have a motion?
I move and ask unanimous consent the Legislative Council approve the agenda as presented.
If there are no objections, the agenda is approved. The first action item for us today is approval of minutes. We have six sets of minutes to approve today. Senator Reinbold, do we have a motion?
I move and ask unanimous consent that the Legislative Council approve the minutes dated June 15th, June 29th, July 13th, 2022, August 18th, 2022, September 30th, 2022, and October 14th, 2022, as presented.
If there is no objection to the motion, then the minutes are approved. That brings us to going into an executive session to consider a construction contract for the Assembly Building remodel, an Anchorage security contract, a discussion on legal services drafting volumes, and consideration of litigation related to social media. I'm going to, before we take that motion, gotten a note that Representative Clayman is now with us, and so when we go into executive session, we'll have that reflected on it. I'm looking for the motion, Senator Reinbold, on the executive session.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the Legislative Council go into executive session under Uniform Rule 22B1, discussion of matters with the immediate knowledge of which would adversely affect the finances of government, and under 22B3, discussion of matter that may, by law, be required to be confidential. The following individuals may remain in the room or online during executive session: Jessica Geary, Megan Wallace, Emily Nauman, Sante Lesh, Molly Kessel, Rainey Vincent, J.C. Kessel, Wayne Jensen, Chris Gilberto, Pat Shanley, Sergey Lesh, Michael Ronda, Hillary Martin, legislators not on Legislative Council, and any staff of Legislative Council members only.
Ms. Geary, please call the roll on the motion.
Representative Clayman. Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Speaker Stutes.
Yes.
Representative Tilton.
Yes.
Senator Bishop.
Yes.
Senate President Michiki.
Yes.
Senator Hughes.
Yes.
Senator Schauer.
Yes.
Senator Sedman.
Yes.
Senator Stevens.
Yes.
Vice Chair Reinbold.
Yes.
Chair Hannon.
Yes.
12 yeas, 0 nays.
With 12 yeas and 0 nays, we have the votes to go into an executive session. I'm going to take a brief at ease while we secure the room and brief at ease.
Been an executive session. Can you please take the roll to make sure we still have a quorum?
Representative Clayman.
Representative Edgman.
Here.
Representative Foster.
Here.
Speaker Stutes.
Here.
Representative Tilton.
Here.
Senator Bishop.
Here.
Senate President Michikee.
Here.
Senator Hughes.
Here until 3:30.
Senator Schauer.
Here.
Senator Stedman.
Here.
Senator Stevens.
Here.
Chair Hannon.
Here.
11 members present.
With 11 members present, we have a quorum to continue our business, and we are back on the record. The first item is approval of a construction contract for the Assembly Building remodel. Senator Michikee, do you have a motion for us?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Move that Legislative Council authorize a construction services contract with Dawson Construction in an amount not to exceed $8,588,266 for the Assembly Building remodel project. Further move that Legislative Council request that the Finance Committees authorize a $2 million grant from the Juneau Community Foundation in the FY 2024 capital budget to be used to offset the cost of the Assembly Building remodel project.
And I'm going to object for purpose of the discussion. Ms. Geary, can you please summarize the action item for us?
For the record, Jessica Geary, Executive Director, Legislative Affairs Agency. This construction contract would authorize work to begin on the Assembly Building apartments, turning that building into 33 separate apartment units that will be completely ready to move into. There's an option to realize savings based on the process that we've undertaken with Dawson Construction. There's a guaranteed maximum price of $8,588,266, which means that the contract price will not exceed that. And when you net out the $2 million grant from Juneau Community Foundation, that takes us down to a little over $6.5 million. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Comments or questions from the members? Senator Stevens.
I just want to publicly thank the Juneau Community Foundation. They've come forward every time we have a serious problem. They've helped us out, and this $2 million funding of this project is really appreciated, and just want to thank them.
Representative Tilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm very appreciative to the Juneau Foundation for trying to come forward and help with this and for also originally bringing the building forward. I just want to go on record for my vote personally and why my vote will be what it is, and not to take up a whole bunch of time, but I think I expressed earlier on when the building was being given to the legislature that I am really not a fan of the legislature being in the business of being a landlord and also in competing with the private sector. I do understand there's a need for housing in the Juneau area, and I do understand the need for keeping our staffing safe. I just think it comes with a lot of just a lot of unanswered questions. Therefore, I will be a no vote on this, but for those reasons, if the majority of the folks, obviously this project will go through, and then I will come around, but at this point, that's just where I'm at, so thank you.
Representative Foster, are you seeking the floor?
No.
Members online.
Senator Schauer.
Senator Schauer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So to echo a little bit of what Representative Tilton said without taking much more time, I concur with those statements and previously on record from the last meeting where we discussed this, including where I predicted the cost would go up, which it did. I know some members are comfortable with that, and that is, I understand that. I would predict it will probably go up again. And when you look at, even though one of the members, one of the senators said it's really only about $200,000 we're still spending, what amounts to about $260,000 per room, and then there is no real long-term plan at this point to recoup that money, and operating expenses may be paid for, but there are a lot of what-ifs here, and I could not agree more with Representative Tilton's assessment that I don't think that's some business we should be in. We have a lot of unknowns, and we're taking on responsibilities, including liability. So I do appreciate that extra $2 million that, or the grant. However, I think that we are setting ourselves up for some longer-term issues, and that seems to be a prohibitive price to me that we should be paying, you know, what could amount to buying a house for each individual room. So for that reason, while I understand the issues that at play, I think there are other options we should pursue, and that would explain my no vote. Thank you.
Other members taking the floor.
Madam Chair.
Okay, I heard Representative Stutes first, and then I think it's Senator Stedman, and then I have Representative Edgerman. So.
And Senator Hughes.
Okay. Was that Stutes first?
Madam Chair, I actually would love to say something, but I think you heard Senator Hughes before me, so you need to put me at the bottom of the pile.
Okay. Senator Hughes.
Yes, thank you. I agree with Representative Tilton's statements. However, I'm going to be a yes because it's already going through, and I think we need to be able to receive the $2 million. I, again, was one of the ones that predicted that the cost would go up, and that's exactly what is happening. And I also want to put on the record that I am concerned that this project is actually ahead of providing space in South Central to hold floor sessions, which I think is important in the future to have a place where we have the technology and the wherewithal to hold a floor session for special sessions. And that should be a priority over this. Thank you.
Representative Stutes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm definitely going to be yes. I'm grateful to the Juno Foundation. I think it's a positive move in the right direction. I think it's time we start, or it's an opportunity to look out for our own, to provide for our own, and whether or not we're going into the rental business, I would beg to differ with that. I think that we're trying to provide for the members of our legislature who are serving Alaskans, and this is one way we can do it. So I'm definitely a yes, and I'm happy to be a yes.
Representative Edgeman.
Yeah, I'm going to be a yes vote as well, but to me this is a little bit of an awkward vote because, you know, like I stated earlier back during session, you know, we don't evaluate other projects like this with other agencies and what have you, at least not in my time. But I understand the uniqueness of this issue. It's a one-time opportunity to actually be, you know, gifted a building. And it doesn't involve new money. It involves money that's already been appropriated to Legislative Affairs along with program receipt authority in the budget for receipt of additional foundation money to support the cost. But, you know, I'm going to vote yes because, like Senator Hughes, you know, this is underway and there's a benefit to it. But I'm still really uncomfortable with the notion of sort of putting something like this in place that wouldn't pass necessarily private sector muster. Thank you.
Are you ready to vote?
Madam Chair.
Yes, go ahead. I believe that's Senator Stedman.
Yes, Senator Stedman. Yeah, I'd like to speak in support of it real quickly, and also like to thank the Juno Foundation for the assistance. One of the biggest challenges we have is housing, particularly as we go into the summer months, and we have to be able to have special sessions in the Capitol, because Juno is the Capitol. And Juno is also going to be experiencing a lot of tourism growth as the rest of Southeast the next several years. So housing is going to even get tighter. So I think this is the right move, and we'll work through the finances as we go forward to ensure that the legislators don't have a free ride. But I think it's going to be beneficial not only to the legislature, but the community in general. And I support this project. Thank you.
Thank you. Hearing no one else seeking my attention, I believe we are ready for the vote on the motion. Ms. Geary, please call the roll.
Representative Klayman? Representative Edgman?
Yes.
Representative Foster?
Yes.
Speaker Stutes?
Yes.
Representative Tilton?
No.
Senator Bishop? Senator Bishop?
Yes.
Senate President Machicki?
Yes.
Senator Hughes?
Yes.
Senator Schauer?
No.
Senator Stedman?
Yes.
Senator Stevens?
Yes.
Chair Hannon?
Yes.
9 yeas, 2 nays.
With 9 yeas and 2 nays, the motion has passed. That brings us to our next action item, the Anchorage Legislative Office Building Security Contract. Senator Machicki, do you have a motion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that the Ledge Council authorize a contract for an amount not to exceed $188,000 from January 1st, 2023 through December 31st, 2023. I further move that Legislative Council add an increment to the security services budget for $100,000 to cover the additional cost.
Ms. Geary, can you summarize the item, or would we like Mr. Kestel here?
I can do that, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
For the record, again, Jessica Geary, Executive Director. So this approval of this contract will allow us to keep the temporary contractor that we have in place right now, and it will allow us to enter a one-year contract with them. If we utilize them to their full potential, they have budgeted, or they have quoted us $188,000 annually, which is about $100,000 more than we had in our budget for the current year. So with that, we are asking for a $100,000 increment, which will come before Legislative Council. And if not approved, we will come before Legislative Council for funding in another way. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Discussion amongst the members. All right. Ready to vote. Ms. Geary, please call the roll.
Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Speaker Stutes.
Yes.
Representative Tilton.
Yes.
Senator Bishop.
Yes.
Senate President Machicki.
Yes.
Senator Hughes.
Yes. Yeah.
Senator Schauer.
Yes.
Senator Stedman?
Yes.
Senator Stevens?
Yes.
Chair Hannon?
Yes.
11 yeas, 0 nays.
With 11 yeas and 0 nays, the motion has passed. That brings us to the legal services drafting volume discussion. As you know, in executive session, we had extensive discussion, and I believe we may have motions to consider here. Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to make my motion and then perhaps describe the reason for the motion afterward. I move that on the legislative services priority policy on item number 10, after the words of, drafting of, we add 10 or less per legislator. New measures, I'm sorry. We had drafting of 10 or less new measures per legislator. We, under number 11, we delete the word sectional summaries for introduced measures. And we add a new number 12 with a language that states drafting of 11 or more new measures per legislator move to the bottom of priority policy as per legal services workload allows. And this motion would allow for conforming and technical changes by Ledge Legal.
So someone needs to put your phone on mute. And members, do you have questions, or did you want to speak to your motion first?
This doesn't limit others from attempting to write more than 10. It just drops them to the bottom of the list so that the workload can be managed. It eliminates the sectional summaries for introduced measures, which is not occurring currently. And it limits the, it leaves on the priority list 10 or less measures per legislator, which dramatically drops the workload, but still allows for those measures to be considered at a lower priority above 10.
Senator Tilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Michiki, would you read your number 12 again? I didn't get.
Yes, well, number 12 states drafting of 11 or more new measures per legislator moved to the bottom of the priority policy as per legal services workload allows.
Thank you.
Representative Edgman.
Yeah, I think I'm going to support this, but just to be real clear about it, it's a policy. It's not have the binding authority of a uniform rules, but it's a directive that legislative affairs, legislative legal can sort of act upon it as if it was almost. It's a directive. It does have the authority of leg counsel, even though it isn't uniform rules. So I guess that's what I'm trying to say the obvious.
Other discussion on the Michiki amendment? Representative Tilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate this amendment because I think, although it does not have that binding of the rules, but it does try to help to move forward and to help legal be able to move forward, and it allows for the body coming in the next session to for every person to have some time to talk about that and to have a vote on that. So I appreciate this as the amendment moving forward, and then allowing the next legislature to have a vote on whether they want to have limitations or not.
Madam Chair, Senator Schauer.
Senator Schauer, go ahead.
Thank you. I was wondering if legal could possibly just give a very quick interpretation, or I guess maybe no legal, for Senator Michiki's amendment, because I'm okay. I'm personally okay with prioritizing, but not with limiting, because I think that takes us down a dangerous path to tell the legislature what they can't do. It seems like this is not doing that, so I'd like him to just confirm that that's how they read it. But secondly, how will bills that are 10 or less be filed? Will it be happening under what they see this as an impact, the same as it is now? And then once it hits 11, it would change? So that as bills came in past 11, they would just move to the bottom and get to them eventually? Is that their read on this, since they would be executing this policy? Thank you.
For the record, this is Emily Nauman, Legislative Legal Services, through the chair to Senator Schauer. I think how this would function on a practical level is that bills or new bill requests, the first new bill requests of a legislator would fall in the priority policy where they do now at number 10. Starting at request 11, that would come after what is currently 11 legal research opinions that do not relate to introduced bills. And as we discussed, this would be the very last thing on the priority policy. It is always our goal to finish all of the work on our desks. All of our attorneys are very driven to do that. So I think that this work would get done eventually. It would just be put below other work on the desk of the attorneys, the drafting attorneys.
Thank you, Madam Chair. One quick follow-up.
Follow-up. Go ahead, Senator Schauer.
Thank you. This is just for the record. I do want to say what everybody else has said in previous discussion, that we really do appreciate your work. While I don't file very many bills or amendments, because I believe we should be personally policing ourselves and only doing what does matter and not frivolous, I do appreciate the work, because you guys have done fantastic work. And I can tell you an example of where too many were filed back in May, where I had Senator Wilikowski, Begich, and Representative Tuck. We were trying to pass an omnibus bill of election integrity and campaign finance reform, and I think it got stopped. It took almost 24 hours to get it back because of that reason. So I fully understand the impetus behind this, and that we could do better. So I say all that for, because I wanted that on the record, that I think everybody does greatly appreciate the work that you do. But with that said, just one last clarifying question is when you hit 11 or more for legislators, so it is crystal clear for the record, those bills were not limiting with this change somebody's ability to file a bill or amendment. They're just going to be lower on the priority list until and if you can get to them, correct? That's my last question. Thank you.
For the record, Emily Nam, Legislative Legal Services, through the chair to Senator Shard. That's correct. This does not in any way restrict a legislator from filing a bill, from introducing a bill. It simply just puts that 11th plus, those 11th plus bills lower on the legal service priority policy. So it might result, from a practical perspective, in a delay in the legislator getting that bill, but will not restrict in any way what the legislator does with that bill once they get it.
Further discussion. You're ready for the vote.
Very brief at ease.
We'll take a very brief at ease.
So there
we're going to lose votes.
There is the other motion, though, that Clayman was going to read, but he's gone.
Not
going to
happen.
Okay.
He's gone.
All right.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Now can you hear me? Okay, we are back on the record. We have a motion from Senator Machicki on the legal services priority policy, and I believe we're ready for the vote on that motion.
Representative Edgeman.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Speaker Stutes.
Yes.
Representative Tilton.
Yes.
Representative Tuck.
Yes.
Senator Bishop.
Yes.
Senate President Machicki.
Yes.
Senator Hughes. Senator Schauer.
Yes.
Senator Stedman.
Yes.
Senator Stevens.
Yes.
Chair Hannon.
Yes.
11 yeas, 0 nays.
With 11 yeas and 0 nays, the motion has passed, and we have amended the legal services priority policy. As we've heard discussed, we are not addressing uniform rules changes or putting into uniform rules any proposed changes, but I will remind members, I assume this problem will still be there, and we have now started that discussion of attempting to modernize both our uniform rules and our PILLC to make sure that we can keep up with the workload that we put ourselves into. Senator Stevens, you were seeking the floor.
Sure, I have a motion to make. The motion specifically is under 10, after measures, insert, during the first 60 days of each legislative session. And then as a number 13, but add drafting of new measures after the first 60 days of each legislative session. So that's the motion, Madam Chair. And Emily, does that work with the amendment we've already made on 10?
For the record, Emily Nowen, Legislative Legal Services, through the chair. I think that we could make it work if you gave us the authority to make conforming and technical changes. We could figure out how to make them.
Yeah, we passed an amendment which affects that same line. So, but anyway, the point is that it's very, very much similar to the discussion we've just had. That it's not in the uniform rules; it's in the priority, and it puts it to the bottom. You know, we're used to in the second year of every session, we're used to not being able to introduce personal legislation during the last month. This simply puts it into the first year as well. I think it will save us some effort on the part of Ledge Legal. And if you haven't been able to get your bill introduced in 60 days, it's unlikely it's going to pass that first session anyway. So it's simply a way to, prioritize things, put things to the bottom that are personal legislation after 60 days have passed. We're used to that in the second year of each session. It'll work, I think, in the first year as well.
Go ahead, Senator Machicki.
Yeah, there's only, I think, I hate to correct the rules, Chair, but all this.
Then don't.
Okay. The uniform rule states that there's not any personal legislation after 60 days, but this is simply reducing the priority. So if Ledge Legal had the time available, they could write a bill after the 60th day.
Absolutely.
And do you, Ms. Nauman, do you believe that we need to have in this amendment the phrasing of conforming changes? Or
Chair Hannon, yes, that would be very helpful in this case to figure out how those, if both pass, how they're going to work together.
Sir Stevens?
Then that to say that it would allow, this motion would allow conforming and technical changes by Ledge Legal.
Thank you. Take a brief at ease. We're back on the record. So we have the Stevens Amendment before us. Are you ready to vote? Ms. Geary, please call the roll.
Representative Edgman?
Yes.
Representative Foster?
Yes.
Speaker Stutes?
Yes.
Representative Tilton?
No.
Representative Tuck?
Yes.
Senator Bishop?
Yes.
Senate President Machicki?
Yes.
Senator Schauer? Senator Steadman?
Yes.
Senator Stevens?
Yes.
Chair Hannon?
Yes.
9 yeas, 1 nay.
With 9 yeas and 1 nay, the Stevens Amendment has passed. Looking to see. Okay. So I'm not seeing any hands for any additional amendments to amend the legal services priority policy. I would remind members that Ledge Council, in session, still has the authority to amend its own policy. So some of the things that we've now started the dialogue around could still be refined at the next Ledge Council, in the next Legislative Council's configuration. We do still have two business items to come before us today that were not part of executive session. The first one under committee business is the approval of teleconference video conference integration design services. Senator Machicki, do you have a motion?
The Legislative Council authorized K2 Audiovisual Acoustics and Technology Design to design an audiovisual system for the Capitol Complex committee rooms and chambers in an amount not to exceed $73,450 using existing capital funds.
I'm going to object for discussion and ask our LIO manager, Tim Powers, to the table to provide information and take questions. And we do have representatives from K2 online for technical questions.
Thank you all. Manager of Information and Teleconferencing for Legislative Affairs. We want to preface this with, we are talking about a different K2 than we typically talk about in terms of the LIO world. We're not talking about KTOO. We're talking about K2, an audio design service, which we were clued into by the NCSL, and so we talked to find out about companies that can help us out with modernizing our AV systems throughout the Capitol. A little bit of a background. Most of the systems in the Capitol have been in place either since the 90s or early 2000s. We've done a few rooms here and there. We've brought up to more modern standards, but we're still not at the current level, which allows us to integrate programs like Microsoft Teams. And we saw during the pandemic that a lot of the committee work went offsite. We were bringing people in by video, and it worked part of the time due to a limitation of the age of the technology we have and the ability to interface our audio system with a third-party outside video platform and have the audio work nicely between the two while still getting it on the record, not sending the audio back to the person who's sending it into the room. A whole slew of problems that we have in the committee room during session just related to the age of the equipment. So we reached out to NZSL this interim to look for companies that would give us a good design for reworking all of our meeting spaces in the Capitol. So all nine committee rooms, speakers, chambers, audio system, as well as both chambers. From speaking with the Sergeant-at-Arms, there's some design flaws in the system that it doesn't work exactly how they want it to. They have Band-Aids in place to allow them to function, but it's things that could be a three-second task, such as going at ease on the floor and coming back out. Now they have to go and mute every microphone that's open versus just a floor-wide mute switch. Things like that, we've asked our companies that we've used in the past for assistance making the systems design exactly as we want, but no one knows the legislative process and how we work in the Capitol. So we've used Alaska vendors in the past, and we have not had stellar luck getting a system that we're happy with that functions how we want. So we went to NCSL to ask for someone that worked in the legislative realm and who they'd recommend. They recommended two companies, the first of which we found out was just a hardware provider who referred us back to K2 in the first place. So K2 has worked in many state legislatures as well as in Congress in D.C. They've got quite the list of committee rooms that they've done. I think the Wyoming State Capitol was the most recent one that they worked on in a state house. But on their website, they've got a whole list of different committee rooms in D.C. that they provide the AV solutions for. And we do have two of their representatives on the line to talk about what, if I can't cover any questions anyone has. So the scope of the work for our project will involve them flying to Juneau, walking the Capitol with us, getting a feel for exactly how every room is laid out. We're going to hunt for where wire paths can go in the concrete building we have. And at the end of it, they're going to come up with a full turnkey solution for what we can go out to bid for. So we're not buying anything right now. We're hiring them for their services to design a building-wide AV infrastructure that we can then later purchase at a later date if we choose to do so. So the $75,000 will cover them flying here, designing the scope of the project, designing everything we need exactly as how we want it. Also, they will oversee the construction phase. They don't have any trips planned in the project that's paid for already, but they will happily come during the project to oversee anything once we're at that point. And then at the end, included in the fees, they will come and do a site visit after installation is complete to make sure that whatever contractor we end up hiring to do the actual installation itself does it to our standards.
Quick question.
Representative Edgman.
Could this also lead to better Wi-Fi capability in the building, too?
Wi-Fi?
Yeah.
This would be completely separate from Wi-Fi. This is just, just the microphones.
But you talked about, if I may, you talked about wiring and looking at the building, the structure of the building itself. But the Wi-Fi in the building in some places is really, still challenging. So, but I mean, there should be some confluence there.
Through the chair, Representative Edgman. While we're going to be in the chases, the wiring that we're going to be looking at is analog. Well, it's audio waves going back and forth. We're not trying to penetrate concrete with audio signals or data signals. That would probably be something for Mr. Benizak and IT to look into. I don't think we would see much. We're not going to be looking at Wi-Fi signal as part of the project.
Okay, thank you.
Other members? One last call for members with questions or comments. Hearing none, seeing none, ready to vote on the motion. Ms. Geary, please call the roll.
Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Speaker Stutes.
Yes.
Representative Tilton.
Yes.
Representative Tuck.
Yes.
Senator Bishop.
Yes.
Senate President Michiki.
Yes.
Senator Schauer. Senator Stedman.
Yes.
Senator Stevens.
Yes.
Chair Hannon.
Yes.
So 10 yeas, 0 nays.
With 10 yeas and 0 nays, the motion is passed. Our next item on the committee business is approval of IT equipment purchases for firewall VPN connections. Senator Machicki, do you have a motion?
Madam Chair, I move that the Legislative Council authorize the purchase of replacement firewall and VPN cybersecurity equipment for a price not to exceed $171,084 using existing capital funds.
I'm going to object for purposes of discussion and ask Chief Information Officer Tim Banaszak to come forward and tell us about the item and take questions. Mr. Banaszak.
Thank you, Chair Hannon. Do a quick audio check because I'm
perfect
down in Juneau dialed in. Is this okay?
Perfect. Go ahead.
Okay, very, very good. So as you noted, just for the record, my name is Tim Banaszak and responsible for the legislature's IT environment. And just to make folks aware, I also have Shay Wilson with me in the room down here, who's one of our technical managers and technical wizards that is responsible for the legislature's applications, network, and our security systems and environment. I might just comment to Representative Edgeman's question prior about the wireless, that throughout the interim we've been looking at wireless coverage in the building and trying to improve that. So when I heard that question, I just wanted to put that out there, so we're looking at some of the areas that are covered. So anyhow, back to this. So we're requesting Legislative Council's funding approval to replace the current firewall that we have and secure VPN for remote access hardware in Juneau and Anchorage. And these have both sets and locations have reached their end of life and won't be supported beyond March of 23. You know, as you consider this quest, by way of analogy, perhaps this might be considered akin to like a boiler or heating system or a heater for a building that is no longer supported and can't be repaired. If it fails, pipes freeze, data leaks, and remote access to our IT infrastructure is frozen shut. So it's pretty critical to our infrastructure here. And these highway hardware systems, it is an information highway, I suppose. They protect and they provide the legislature's secure connections to the internet, including AKLedge, .gov basis, public and internal websites, our partner agencies, department administration, executive branch, state's account and payroll system, and then, of course, remote access to the legislative resources that we have here. So, in short, if we don't have this updated and current, the legislature couldn't conduct technology business without that. From a procurement standpoint, we used a existing competitively sourced cooperative purchasing agreement that is permitted and authorized under Section 37 of the Legislative Procurement Procedures. And we solicited quotes from three vendors, Structured, Network Consulting, and Worldwide Technologies, and the lowest was Structured for $171,084, and I'm recommending that, in this case, Legislative Council authorize the use of existing capital funds that we have for these necessary cybersecurity hardware tools, an amount not to exceed the lowest price of the bid through Structure, again, for $171,084. And I think with that, happy to take any questions.
Members of the committee.
Hey, Madam Chair,
Senator Stevens.
What is the limit that the chair can approve without going through us? Is that
through the chair, Senator Stevens? With Legislative Council, the limit's
$50,000. $50,000. Thank you.
Anyone else online with a question? I believe we're ready to vote on the motion. I'll remove my objection. And Ms. Geary, if you'll call the roll.
Representative Edgman.
Yes.
Representative Foster.
Yes.
Speaker Stutes.
Yes.
Representative Tilton.
Yes.
Representative Tuck. Senator Bishop.
Yes.
Senate President Michicki.
Yes.
Senator Stedman.
Yes.
Senator Stevens.
Yes.
Chair Hannon.
Yes.
9 yeas, 0 nays.
Nine.
And Chair Hannon, Senator Shower's back online. My apologies, I fell offline. We had to get back in.
Senator Shower.
Yes, thank you.
9 yeas, 0 nays.
Yes.
Was there somebody else who was trying?
Tuck.
Yeah, Representative Tuck. I'm a yes.
Thank you, Representative Tuck. We'll make that 11 yeas, 0 nays.
With 11 yeas and 0 nays, the motion has passed. That brings me to the bottom of my published agenda. Are there any other motions from members? With that, I want to thank you all for your time. Right now, as on my calendar, this is likely my last meeting as chair of Ledge Council, but I will see many of you soon in Juneau, and I appreciate your efforts to all the work and efforts to continue to keep the legislature a functional side of doing its business. The administrative side is not always glamorous, but it's never boring. So thank you all for being here today this close to the holidays, and I wish each and every one of you the best of holiday time to recover with your families before we have a very busy 33rd legislature. And I would like to acknowledge and thank my staff, Tim Clark, who has dutifully been my go-to guy for the 2 years of chairing this council. So with that, we are adjourned.
Brian Bolt.
Madam Chair, what is going to transpire with the additional special session first?